was Tavshin Yud. Tavshin Yud. It was 1950. And there was a magifa, there was a plague here in Israel called the polio plague. Not only in Israel, but also in Israel.
It's worldwide.
Yeah. And many, many kids also died from it and also became paralyzed. Some people become paralyzed and went out. Usually, people got polio, didn't die from it, and nothing happened, they got polio. And a lot of them went out of it also. But a lot of them also became paralyzed for life. It depends on the, if it was it became complicated. All kinds of other things were together with it. One of the guys here this year told me that he had polio in those years. For a year. And then he got out of it. Anyways, anyone who had this polio, this paralyzing disease, they took him to the hospital. And they didn't really know there, it was very primitive here in Yerushalayim. They didn't know exactly what to do with it. And that's also why it caused many kids to damage them for life. The only thing they knew how to do is to put them in
iron lungs.
What's that?
An iron lung.
What's that?
It helps you breathe. Because polio blocks nerve pulses to your diaphragm, so you can barely breathe.
They put you in a box or something.
Yeah, a box, and it basically sucks the air out, so the pressure forces the air into your lungs and then regulates it.
They isolate a room. They put you in, also isolated.
It's a giant tank, basically. And now they put you on a breathing machine.
Yeah.
They still have polio. They just give it a different name.
Right. And it's called the Dalekut Kuma Moch. It's something in the brain.
You know why
they give it a different name? So they keep sell you the vaccines.
Right, and the vaccines don't work.
Don't work.
They're
exactly.
Contaminated, and now they're contaminated with cancer.
That's people why that I don't give my kids any vaccines.
The kids that are my age in the 50s that got the SureCube are now coming down with cancer. Very rare cancers. They're coming down with very rare cancers because they got the salt sugar cube. They're now getting cancers. Yes. It's on JerusalemCast.com. Banned health news.
Anyways, the story here was that they used to put them there, and they could be for years in that isolated place. They didn't know what to do with them. Also in Shmuel's house, his little daughter, Esther, her name is, she was 10 months old, and they put her in Shaare Tzedek, completely isolated. And they said it's very contaminated, no one can get close to her, contagious, no one can get close to her, this, that. Only the nurse was able to go in. Shmuel used to come and look in the window. And he used to stand there and pray for hours and hours. And he saw his daughter laying there, can't do anything. And Shmuel, in those months, he moved a lot of his prayers to there, to the Shaare Tzedek Hospital. A lot of his time he spent there, of course. Where's the old one?
On Yafa.
On Yafa Street?
Yeah.
And you know where the one before that? Before that there was an old city in Misgav Ladach. That's also moved out. Okay. Yeah. Anyways, after a few months, when they noticed that there's nothing going on, and then they understood that it's not contagious, so they put the daughter in a place called Alin, a little hospital there. They hold kids like that, and they grow up over there. The problem is, Alin, you know, Alin means when they send you to Alin, that's how you're going to stay for life, paralyzed, and here you're going to take care of you. The problem was that Aline was in the same courtyard as a, in those days, as a church, a monastery. And who took care of them?
Nuns.
The nuns. Nuns. Yeah. The loving nuns. Right? And of course, the nuns there, they used to speak to them about that man and all the things. Anyways, yeah.
Brainwashing, torture, same thing they did to the Canadians.
There was nothing to do. Like, in the state, for some reason, said, no, they have to be dafka in that place. Of course, the state. And they didn't let also the parents and the people visit them so much, only a little bit. So Shmuel used to go all the time there, as much as he can, and talk to Emuna and Hashem and everything. So, Shmuel, he had to, in those days, it was very unreligious, it was very anti-religious, that place. And they used to force the kids to do things on Shabbos also. And he used to fight there for his daughter. No, you can't do it. When she was 8, she didn't know how to walk. She knew how to crawl, but she couldn't walk, his daughter. And still she was there. She had her head, was there 100%. Just her body wasn't 100%. Her hands also worked well. Just her body couldn't, she couldn't walk. She could only crawl. 8 years, Kitsu. 8 years.
She was there for 8 years?
8 years, till she was 8 years old. Listen to this story. One day, Tavshin Yud Chet, 1958, with the 10 days of Tshuva, Asar Zemei Tshuva, between Hashem and Kippur, after everything is she decided, the Rabbanit, Rav Shmuel's wife, to take the daughter to the big doctor, to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the big doctor. He's the big doctor, big tzaddik. Yeah, he must go, he can't, the daughter is there for years. Rav Shmuel, of course, where was he? In Miron, he was there from Rosh Hashanah until after Yom Kippur, he stays there. He didn't know about his work. But she had also the emuna that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai could help them. And she spoke to the doctors. She said, I want to take him home. No, you can't, this, that. She told him, what do you mean? One Shabbos, 8 years, you can't get one Shabbos, she should be home. She didn't tell him, of course, things on her own. It's very important, it will help her, and this and that. He tried to tell her, no, but she told him, it's not a problem, she lives right here, very close. Anyway, at the end, they agreed to take him for Shabbos. Motzei Shabbat, they took the pekalach and went to Meron. They were home for Shabbos and they went to Meron with the oldest daughter, right? Also with the paralyzed daughter. In those days, it took them a whole day to go to Meron, not 3 hours, 9-10 hours. First, the number 4 from Katamon, where they used to live, to the old train station. You know where that is, right? Katamon near Bethlehem.
Right, it's now a mall.
Yeah. Then they took the train to Haifa. Then another 4 hours to Tzfat. And then another hour to Meron. It's half an hour to whatever to Meron. And all this time she had to carry the 8-year-old on her hands. She didn't have a wagon or anything for her. At the end they reached Meron. What's Meron? Nothing. A mountain. 1958, there's nothing there. So they got to Meron. And then someone said, Rav Shmuel, your daughter, your wife's here with your daughter. You couldn't believe it, what? So Rav Shmuel came and he put for his daughter a blanket on the floor, right near the tzion of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rav Shmuel, you know, in the back. She put the blanket over there. And he put the daughter there. And his daughter, his wife was sitting next to him, started praying. And Shmuel went back to the other side, where the men are, where the Ashkenazi minion is now. In those days, there was no mechitza. Anyways, 3 days and 3 nights, they were there. And Shmuel was very calm. And for sure, Shmuel will help him. He continued praying and learning Torah regular. There was one more day left. until the day they have to go back to the to that place, the Ali in that place. Yeah. And the third day of the Tziyun, a few hours before they planning on leaving, suddenly the Rabbanit realized, the Rabbi Shmuel's wife realized that Esther, the little daughter, is gone. Where'd she go? Where she crawled away? She started looking for her. She saw her crawling towards the Keber of Rabbi Elazar. So she looked after her. The 8-year-old walking towards. She went over to those bars there, right? Those blue bars, remember them? Still there from many years ago. She grabbed on. And she stood up, eight years, she never learned how to walk. She stood up and started walking. True story, Rabbi Shmuel Shapira. This daughter is still alive, you could go speak to her. I think she was in America now. And she started walking around the Tzion a few times. She couldn't believe it. She stood there just looking at that. This, the doctors, they didn't even give her a little chance of cure. Half of her childhood, she's paralyzed. Now she's walking like a regular man, another human being. She ran over to her, crying and laughing and crying from happiness. And afterwards, she ran to the men where the men were. And said, Shmuel, come, look, Shmuel, come. She's walking. And he looked at it and said, "Of course, I'm Shima." He wasn't shocked at that. Same day they went with her and her son was with her, Aaron. They went back to Yerushalayim. And Shmuel stayed in Meron, of course, left in Kippur. She went back there. And she went back and then they looked at her and they see her walking. So, what? How is she walking? They started, well, how could it be? Everyone was excited. How could it be? What happened? So the professor, Palavsky, he said, where did you take her? So then after this day, she said, no, it doesn't make a difference. No, you have to tell us. We took her to a very big doctor. Where? He told him, we took him to a special clinic of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. This professor was very far away from anything of holiness, or from the Torah or anything. Couldn't believe it. Why? He spoke to doctors. He called people from other countries, and then he couldn't believe it. And then when Shmuel came to take his daughter out because she could walk now, he put down his hand. And he said, "I believe that there's a Hashem in the world." This big doctor. In the same time, Rabbi Yaakov Miller Shechter, his daughter was also in that place. So people told him, go to the Meron also. So he said, I can go. The Rabbi Shimon is the same Rabbi Shimon. He can help me also. But I'm not Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is not only Rabbi Shimon, it's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon. Anyways. As soon as possible, he took his daughter out, of course. Get some. And she lives in Muncie. His daughter.
Muncie?
Yeah, and then they also the doctors weren't sure she'll be able to have children. She has 13 children. Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyways, you got a story.
Did the doctor ever go up there?
What, the doctor?
Did he ever go up there?
I'm not a
Say, look, help me.